we sang about Calvary, and I'm wondering if you can internalize the truths of what happened at Calvary. See, this morning I've got some good news for you. What happened at Calvary 2,000 years ago impacts today. It impacts your today, your tomorrow, your every day for the rest of your life. What happened at Calvary, what Christ accomplished there, impacts each and every person. Now, how much it impacts you is sometimes not fully recognized and realized and understood. I was counseling with a man a few years back, and he was ill. He thought maybe his life was soon to be over. It turned out he was a little bit afraid about something that wasn't reality quite yet. He had a number of years still, but he was racked with guilt. He could not shake this overwhelming sense of dread that he was not going to make it into heaven. He was sure in his feelings that he was not forgiven. Now, this was a man who had a dramatic conversion to Christ and for 35 so years had been attending church and was involved in Christian activities through the church and ministry there. But in this stage of his life, depression settled in and doubt settled in like a dark cloud over his life, and he was convinced he was not forgiven. Words that I shared and others shared seemed to just bounce off and not sink in. And I'm wondering how common that is for others, that there's this inner doubt, that there's this little bit of uncertainty, that when you hear about forgiveness, you hear about God's grace, you hear about God's mercy, you hear about what he accomplished on Calvary, you think, okay, that's good, but I'm not certain it works for me. Are you forgiven? Do you have guilt on your record? Do the screw-ups you made and did this week cause you to now be in the debtors column? What's your eternal status in the sight of God? Are you in or are you out? What's your destiny? Will you pray with me? God, there are some deep questions that we all must answer. We all seek your truth about. So we pray that this morning you would use your word to speak deep down into the very center of our being, that it wouldn't just be human words that could easily bounce off of our eardrums and not resonate, but we ask that your word, by the power of your Holy Spirit, now would sink in deep, change us from the inside out. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. I want to talk to you about forgiveness. The psalm we read said, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, and forget not all his benefits." And the first one listed there in Psalm 103 is one of the benefits we praise him for, is that he forgives all our sin. Sometimes we think of forgiveness as being a New Testament teaching, but I encourage you to use one of those fancy tools called a concordance and look up the verses in your Bible about forgiveness. There are so many. You want to read them. You want to let the truth sink in, and you'll be amazed at how many come from the Old Testament. We think sometimes wrongly that the Old Testament is law and the New Testament is grace, but in reality, the Old Testament communicates law and the New Testament communicates law. It's what God expects of us, what we should do and what we should not do. But you look in the Old and New Testament both, you also see the message of grace, how God is pouring out his favor upon us. And boy, don't we need that? We need the favor of God. So this morning I want to talk to you about forgiveness. First, I want to talk to you about how forgiveness is absolutely necessary. Forgiveness is absolutely necessary. Do you know that no unforgiven person can get into heaven? Heaven is perfection. God is perfection. God's presence is a place of absolute holiness. And no person with sin on their record can get into heaven. Now, that's pretty bad news. But the reality is, if you've got one sin on your record, you are kept out. You can imagine a gatekeeper standing at the gate and deciding whether someone comes into heaven or not. What if he asked you to show the record of your life, to unroll the scroll of your life? And what if all the sins were listed there? How long would that scroll have to be? Or what if there was a counter in heaven that counted up each sin? It'd be like one of those counters of the national debt. The numbers are spinning so fast, they just keep going up and up and up to these amazingly huge numbers. What if there was a record like that of your sin? Well, the truth is that there is. Unless something broke that counter. Unless something remove the ink from that scroll. Each and every person who's ever lived, ever will live, has sinned against their Maker. Scripture says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. That means you and me. You see, you cannot understand forgiveness until you understand guilt. You can't understand what it means to be forgiven until you realize you need to be forgiven. When I was little, I was rather inquisitive, and my dad used to say I must be mechanically inclined. One of the things that prompted him to say that about me was I discovered as a little lad that my dad had a new electric shaver. It was fascinating. And it seemed like it was designed to be opened up so you could look at how it works on the inside. So, of course, I did that. Little did I know that it wasn't supposed to open up in that fashion. And after I just looked at it as much as I could, I attempted to put it back the way it was, but it wouldn't quite go. But I wasn't worried about that. I'm sure my dad could put it back. Well, my dad came home after his shift as an engineer at the 3M company in St. Paul, and I knew he could fix anything, and he discovered his shaver that was irreparably opened up by his toddler, or youngster, and he was quite mad because it was a relatively new shaver to him. And I discovered something. When you break something that belongs to somebody else, they're not real happy about that. And when you break God's commandments, when you break God's instructions, when you sever intimacy with your Maker, He's not happy about that. And the truth of the matter is, you deserve punishment. You deserve the punishment that He would mete out upon you. But we are instructed in Scripture to let God deal with that issue appropriately. I love Isaiah 1, verse 18. I want to read it, but I want to read it by omitting certain portions at the beginning here. We'll come back and read all of it in its entirety. But consider how this reads. Isaiah 1:18. It's Isaiah recording the words of God. So these are God's words to you, to me, to us. He says in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord." Now think about that invitation. God wants you to join Him in a thinking process, an evaluation process, where you're looking at a situation. The situation He wants you to look at is the reality of your sin. The reality of your sin. Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet," and there's a next phrase I'm going to omit for a second, but that's the description God has. Think about this. Your sins are like scarlet. And then a little further down. Though they are red like crimson, your sins have stained your life. Now, this was written, about 700 before Christ, if I think right. You can check on the date of it. So, over 2,700 years ago. They didn't have Maytag washing machines there then. They didn't have access to detergents like we do then. Now, They didn't have bleach in a bottle sitting by your washing machine. If you got blood on a garment and weren't quickly able to find fresh water, that blood stained that garment. Very few people wore white in olden days. Some of you have some beautiful white shirts on. Look at Dale. Dale's dressed in a beautiful white shirt. Nobody would wear white shirts back then. You know why? Because they could not be kept white. They didn't have the ability to clean them. And so when Scripture uses analogies of something being stained, something being dirtied, it was a powerful everyday reminder that they couldn't keep themselves clean. And neither can you, and neither can I, when it comes to the condition of our heart. Forgiveness is absolutely necessary because we have sinned against our Maker. We have broken His laws. How many of the Ten Commandments have you broken? I've broken all 11 of them. Have you always honored God the way you should honor Him? Have you always revered His name and treated it with holiness? Have you always honored the Sabbath day and kept it holy as a day of revering Him and growing closer to Him? Have you always honored your father and mother? Have you always thought well of someone and not murdered them in your actions or thoughts? Have you never committed adultery in action or in thought? Have you never stolen or desired or ever coveted? Or have you ever given false testimony? The reality of the law of God is that it drives us to our knees and saying, God, I am guilty before you. There's no hope. And now think about how hard you'd have to work to pay off your debt. One of the most arrogant things anyone could ever say is that, well, if I just did a few more good deeds this week, I could make up for that sin I committed. But there is no amount of good things you could do that would ever pay the enormity of your debt. We are stuck. We are absolutely stuck. And I think sometimes we belittle the idea of forgiveness of God because we belittle, think little of our own sin. Maybe we'd love more if we realized we were forgiven more. Have you sinned against your Maker? I know the answer is yes. But I know there's an even bigger truth. Consider the fact that not only is forgiveness necessary because of our sin, consider also that forgiveness is freely ours by faith in Jesus Christ. We've started confirmation, and so some of our teenagers are taking notes. I had one point already. Remember what it was? Forgiveness is absolutely necessary. My second point is forgiveness is ours freely by faith in Jesus Christ. Back to Isaiah. Let's read it the way it's actually written in all its flowing fullness here. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though your sins are red as crimson, they shall become like wool, like white wool." There is hope that God extends to His people. The hope is forgiveness. Forgiveness is freely ours by faith. Or consider Ephesians 1, verse 7. In Him, that's in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. The word blood is used there. If you read through the Old Testament, you'll see two pictures there. You'll see God's hatred of sin. And you'll see blood sacrifice. The system of blood sacrifice was instituted from the time of Moses on. It was this weekly and yearly reminder that sin had to be atoned for. Yesterday, in the Jewish calendar, is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. It's the time during the Hebrew calendar when the sacrifice of the Lamb of Atonement was made. It was a yearly reminder that something had to be done to pay for our sins. And so the ceremony was acted out where the sins of the whole community were imputed upon this lamb, and it was slain to pay the price of the sin of humanity. Blood was poured out. Well, what was that? That was a yearly picture of what God would fulfill when Christ, the Lamb of God, came and died in our place and shed His blood. The lamb death had to be repeated year after year after year. Christ came to complete that picture, to drive it into reality where God Himself took on flesh, bled His blood to pay the debt that you and I have incurred. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's the truth of God's plan of salvation to rescue you. You need forgiveness, and now God is giving forgiveness through the shed blood of His Son. It's a miracle of immense proportion that your guilt, though great, was now paid for by a sacrifice even greater. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. See, the reality is that God has to punish sin. See, here's a wrong picture that some people have of God. God is this loving, gracious being who cares for you so much, He's just going to overlook all your offenses. What that does not take into account is the fact that God is completely just. Justice must be served. God cannot overlook your sin. No sin can be allowed into heaven. Therefore, God paid for the sin. Justice has been served. The debt has been paid. Someone else stepped in and paid it. That's the miracle, people. You couldn't, so God did. If someone ever asks you to describe what's unique about Christianity, you could use this phrase, God did it. I didn't have to. I couldn't. I can never pay my debt, so God did it. God did it. It's a done deal. I was reading an article this week. It was a person who was journeying out of the deceptions of Mormonism in the Church of the Latter-day Saints. And they have such a different teaching on forgiveness. Their teaching is that you need to be forgiven sin by sin. You need to somehow do enough things to pay for the offense that you brought about. They use a phrase that the plaster must cover the whole sore. In other words, you must apply a healing plaster to this sore as big as the sore, or you must do enough to pay for the debt. You must do enough so it covers the whole debt. That's Mormonism. Christianity is Christ died for you to pay your debt because you couldn't. Radically different teaching. Mormonism talks about progressing up a ladder, doing enough good things, paying for this sin, paying for that sin, finally getting up so you've done enough, as much as God expects. Christianity says you can never do enough, so Jesus did it. It's a gift from God. Or consider what Acts 3:19 says. He's preaching to a group of people who have not yet come to know Christ, and he says to them, "Repent, therefore, turn again, that your sins may be blotted out." Blotted out. What's the imagery there? It's not just of sins being temporarily covered, but it's the image of the ink that had sunk into the parchment completely being lifted out, removed from the parchment completely. diluted out until it's finally all gone. It's washed off of the parchment. It's no longer on the scroll. So when a Christian comes up and the scroll of his life is unrolled, all the spots where there were sins listed now are blank because a blood was applied. The cleansing blood of Christ was applied, and all that sin ink was blotted out, washed out, completely removed. A Christian has no sin on the scroll anymore. Isn't that amazing, people? You're forgiven. Freely forgiven of every sin. So, how do we respond to a truth like that? There's only one possible response. It's a gratitude that racks our very being, that causes us to go, God, I don't deserve it, but I thank you for it. It's received by faith. It's received by saying yes to God's offer. It's received by being appropriated. It's received by saying, yes, God, I want it. I don't deserve it. I certainly am not worthy. It's God doing it for us. See, read the verses on forgiveness. Read the pictures in the Old Testament about forgiveness. Atonement. A scapegoat carrying your sins off, removing them. Cleansing. All these terms talk about something that occurs. Something that happens. Something that changes reality from that point forward. It's a change of your destiny, a change of your identity, a change of your position with God. So what are my points, teenagers? Point number one is that forgiveness is absolutely necessary. Point number two is that forgiveness is freely received by faith. And my third point, forgiveness is eternally effective and daily experienced. Forgiveness is eternally effective and daily experienced. Don't be a Mormon and think you've got to somehow today pay for yesterday's sins. Be a Christian who says, today I receive Christ's forgiveness for all my sins. Be at one-ment with God. Be atoned. Be made whole. Be receiving the holiness of Christ into your life. Again, looking at Acts and the preaching of the early church to the first ones to receive and hear and understand the gospel, Peter says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How many times are you baptized? Once! What do you receive when you are baptized? Forgiveness of which sins? Past, present, future. The status of an individual who's been immersed into Christ, washed by the blood of Christ, is that they are now a holy person in the sight of God, forgiven forever. That ought to change how you walk into the new day. You walk into the new day saying, not saying, oh, I hope I do enough today to pay for my mistakes. No, a Christian walks into the new day saying, I'm forgiven. So what can I do today to say thank you to God for my forgiveness? I don't earn it, but I do express my gratitude for it. And so daily, I experience this reality that I'm a forgiven person. Daily, if I stumble into new sin, I say, God, I'm sorry for my new sin. I turn away from that new sin knowing that you have effectively forgiven me for it already. What that does is empower you to stop sinning as much. Hebrews 10, quoting Jeremiah 31:34, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. God doesn't keep track of them. God is not writing them down. Or consider the teaching of 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1, in the middle there we have these tremendous verses. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Purify you from all unrighteousness. What's the context there? It's the context of walking in the light with God. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. In other words, we are to be people who are daily experiencing the forgiveness of God, daily listening to Him, daily receiving from Him, daily appropriating what He's done for us already, rejoicing in the fact that we are forgiven so that we can live in harmony with Him, enjoying intimacy with Him, being people of the light. In a few moments, we're going to gather around the altar and receive the elements of communion, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. When we take those elements, we're celebrating what Christ accomplished in the past for us. We're affirming that I am receiving forgiveness as an eternally effective thing sometime in my past and as a daily experience. I'm a forgiven person who constantly tries to live a life that brings Christ glory. See, it's a divine miracle that we're talking about today. The grace of God that says you could never pay off your debt, so a substitute will pay it for you. Your response? Receive it. Receive it by faith. And now, empowered by the indwelling holiness of the Holy Spirit, live a life of celebrating Him, of thanking Him, a life flowing with gratitude to Him that says, I want to bring you glory as I live out the reality of being forgiven. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we celebrate what you have done for us this morning. We affirm that our debt was too great and we could never have paid it. That's fact. But we celebrate too the fact that you have come to die for us, to shed your blood for us, to pay our guilt for us. And so we reach out our hands and say, I receive by faith this gift that you have to give me. I grab a hold of it. I claim it as my own. And I enter into an eternal relationship with you, a relationship based upon your grace that I receive and live by this faith now you've imputed into me. Thank you that I now am a new person, a cleansed person, an atoned person, a redeemed person, a justified person, all because of your gift. And now empower me by your Spirit to live it out, that it might be an eternally effective forgiveness that's been granted to me, that has daily experiences that I'm affirming moment by moment. I'm saying yes to moment by moment. And it's changing the way I look at everything. You, me, and the people around me. May we live out people, the life of a person that's been changed by the intervention of a substitute. May it impact the way we forgive others all around us. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.